You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn, who returns for a special 4th of July celebration show from outside the cosmos. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down, like many of us. He never fit into the matrix. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy to this special show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
I'm hanging right in there, somehow surviving all the insanity on planet Earth.
Well, today is a particularly insanitatious day with the 4th of July, and it means so many different things to different people, and most of it is brainwashing and, propaganda to create, some kind of allegiance to things.
And not other things, then.
Which means
it's all part of the big game of divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. And isn't it ironic that the goal is freedom, the context is freedom, but the content is enslavement? You are free to go into your cage now.
Yeah. You're free to do whatever we tell you.
Exactly. Or do whatever you like in within the confines of the earth.
Yes. And actually,
but we might take you for a special trip in one of our ships where we probe you and poke around and take samples and snip your DNA and dumb you down and dump you somewhere where you're uncomfortable. So don't be surprised. Anything could happen in this world.
That's right.
Yeah,
including shifting this into a love-based reality. That can happen, too.
Oh, now that is something that I would be interested in participating in.
Yeah,
how would you suggest we all align with that particular thought form?
Simply realize that we already are that. We are already the essence of the infinite, which is divine love. All we need to do is be what we really are.
Well, wouldn't that entail releasing that which we are not? That's the hard part. That's like trying to carve the meat off the bone of a barbecue.
Okay, well, that's a perspective, yeah. But we don't want to make this too real, right?
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, because really, this is the least real of all the worlds that most of us have dealt with lately. This is the deeper dream.
Is it similar to, I see it similar to the movie Inception, where they go into deeper levels of the dream. And did you see that movie?
Yes, I did.
What did you think? I thought it made a pretty interesting metaphor.
Yeah, because really what we're experiencing here is mass inception.
Yeah.
Remember, the way to do an inception and do it effectively was to have the target actually believe it was their own idea.
Oh, yes, excellent. Yes. Oh, it brought out a lot of interesting points about our reality here.
Our so-called reality.
Right. Our hologram.
Yeah.
Our illusion of holographic reality.
And really, oh, hey, did you ever read the old book, Illusions, speaking of that word?
Oh, I don't think I did.
By Richard Bach. Oh, that's from back in the 70s, yeah.
Oh, yes, I did, but I just don't remember it. It's been too... You know, he wrote that book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Right.
And I think all of his books just kind of fly out of my mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think this was the one that followed Jonathan Livingston
Seagull. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was subtitled The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah.
Messiah, yes, I do remember reading it.
Yeah, the guy who was born to be a Messiah but then decided to quit and just go out and play and have fun. And anyway, illusions, the whole thing was based on this is all illusion. It's nothing but illusions. Right. And at one point, Richard, the guy writing the book in the first person, it was almost getting a point that we're all living actually in different worlds, different illusions. Mm. And didn't quite get it, but yeah, it's like 7 billion different worlds simultaneously here in
right.
the human realm. And it's what Proterian calls infinite intermingling holograms. See, it's not just the holographic theory, like it's all one hologram.
Right, right.
It's infinite intermingling.
Intermingling. Entangled.
Yes. In many cases, it does appear that way, yes. Yeah, so the illusions here are amusing if we allow ourselves to realize that, first of all, it's not real with a capital R. Mm-hmm. And so we've just gotten caught up in this. And actually, it's as Proterian sees it, even our most tragic events here are really good slapstick comedy. Because there's a way to look at anything and see the humorous side of it. And as they look at this world, of course, they're not taking it seriously anyway, and so they think the whole thing's very amusing. And the most amusing thing is we believe in it.
Right.
We take it seriously. But we are transcending that.
Well... Not too soon either. I mean, not too. What do I mean by that? It couldn't happen sooner.
Yeah, well, it's happening, and that's cool.
And of course, soon could mean weeks, months, years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, or a few thousand lifetimes, depending on how many times we choose to. Incarnate and experience duality and the rest of it. So,
yes, but at this point, especially what I read in the charts, is that so many souls are here with the full intent of completely transcending all of this and getting their asses off that hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation and getting real and co-creating cool worlds to live in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that is what the Proterians are here to help us with, is it not?
Oh, we could say that. Actually, they're just having fun.
Oh, they're just having fun.
Yeah, but this is their idea of a good time.
Well, then they should be incarnate.
Well,
well, they are. You are one.
Some were foolish enough to come down into the trenches, yeah. But actually, in one of the channeling sessions a year or so ago, the question came out, what is the Proterian mission statement?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, their immediate response was, well, there's an earthling question for you. Like they had never thought they'd have to write down their mission statement.
Mission statement, right.
Yeah. And so they said that their mission statement is to play and have fun.
Ah.
Yeah, so that's the mission.
I see. And is it working so far?
Well, they're having a great time.
Well, we certainly provide an endless source of amusement at our ignorance. And as Bashar likes to say, we're masters. We're all masters here. Masters of Limitation.
Yes, and we have raised dysfunction to an art form here.
Oh, yes, my goodness. And we all have PhDs in duality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that we've learned a lot about, and we're about ready to transcend it, I think, because it's outdated. And it doesn't dovetail very well with multidimensionality.
Well, maybe not, no.
Something's got to give. And, you know, that was a Marilyn Monroe movie, I think. But I think they meant something else in the movie, you know. Something.
Yes, well, they usually do.
Yeah. It was sex or something, you know.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But you said something about the Proterians being incarnate. Now, on one level, they are incarnate on their own level in their own way.
Uh-huh.
In fact, in one session, we have some of these earthlings who really believe in physicality, like it's the basis of reality. Nothing can be done about it because it's physical. You can't do anything about it. It's the laws of physics. This is physical. You can't do anything about it. You know,
right.
To them, that wall is just rock solid, and it's real with a capital R.
Right.
And you know, they believe in solidity. They believe in opacity. They believe in gravity. They believe in all of the limitations. I mean, just like they just can't get their head out of that box.
Mm.
And so the question came back from the Proterians, do you honestly believe that our reality is any less physical to us than yours is to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because where they are and they experience themselves, it's like super physical. They have senses we can't even imagine here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And they indulge in them freely and have a great time with them. And many years ago, in fact, it was one of the very first public channeling sessions, somebody asked the immortal question, what is the meaning of life?
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go, down the rabbit hole.
But no, actually, not with the Proterians. Because their response was, as far as they knew, there was no such thing as the definitive answer to that question.
Right.
However,
right.
They had their own definitive answer.
Ah.
If you're interested.
Yes.
And then the audience said they were interested, yes. And so they said then, our definitive answer to that question is there is no meaning of life. Meaning is an intellectual fabrication. And the spirit which created the mind is not subjected to the interpolations and extrapolations and inventions of the mind.
Exactly.
And so meaning is just more illusion about the illusions.
Right.
And so then you're free to make up any meaning you want, and you're free to change the meaning at any time you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's all meaningless.
Right. Right. I got that out of my S seminar years ago.
There you go, yeah.
Life is meaningless, and there is no meaning to it.
Exactly. So, you know, when you get into things like, you know, man's search for meaning, it's all drama. Just drama. And it's all just the mental body spinning its wheels in the mud.
Yeah, and it seems to be the mental body seems to be the slowest of the bodies within us, and it also seems to be the most predominant, especially amongst males.
And especially in Western civilization.
And in Western, yes. Encouraged and nourished as the all that is for the males, and that of course then becomes a replacement for spirit and intuition, which is the right brain, and that makes life difficult because it creates a lot of the mental body creates a lot of illusions, and then it becomes difficult to poke holes in beliefs because they become solidified.
Well, that's why the Proterians don't recommend belief.
You're right. It has the word L-I-E in it.
Yeah. That's the core of it, yes.
Yeah. B-L-I-F.
Yeah. Right. Because, you know, when we believe something, we've gone inside and shut the door on further perception.
That's right. That's right.
We're telling the universe, you can't show me anything now because I know.
Exactly, and that's a closed mind. And
yes.
As we know, if it's a parachute, you're not in much luck if you don't open it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much SOL there. Okay.
Well, now let's get back to the Libertarians. So I know that this is an intellectual question, and it has to do with the material planes, but according to how we would want to examine a civilization, I want to ask you how old they are in the sense of in relation to, say, into Earth's population and to other galactic populations.
Okay,
how long have they been around?
If we're going to put it in terms of Earth years, then they are many millions of years old.
Okay.
And
okay,
in their current life forms and expressions. But, see, they are free. They can go in and out of dimensions and worlds and do whatever they want, go wherever they want, be whatever they want. But still, they enjoy the consistency of being the Protarians.
Okay. Now, where do they reside when they reside together in another dimensional reality? Are they in the material planes? Are they in a galaxy? Are they in another dimension? Is planetary? Where are they?
Oh, okay.
Can I put a 50-cent coin in a phone and call them up and say, I want the Libertarians?
Okay. You don't need to do that. But it's okay. Okay. Now, actually, let's say once upon a time, long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, they lived as biological creatures on a planet.
Okay.
And they finally realized, oh, this is pretty stupid. This is pretty limited. And they said, yeah, they went through a lot of this stuff that we've gone through here. However, they have to bow to the all-time universal champions because they never achieved any dysfunction that even touches what we've done on Earth. But it was plenty limited and screwed up enough for them.
For them, right.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, they squabbled and they fought, but they never had any such thing as a war or anything like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was just a very different type of being, and they were amphibious beings.
Oh.
And tall and thin and green, and probably on Earth the closest relative would be a frog, but they're not really that frog-like. They're actually
okay.
Very humanoid.
Oh.
Very humanoid, yeah. And they then woke up. They made contact with their neighbors elsewhere in their sector of their galaxy and then started getting out and playing around in their galaxy. And they realized, this is a riot.
Huh.
This is fun. You know, we can put these ships together. And they got to the point where they didn't even have to have anything like technology. They still occasionally play with technology on certain levels, but they just manifest the technology.
Huh, wow.
And then play with it, you know, just because it's amusing to them.
Nice.
And so, yeah, for them it was fun to go out and learn and contact all these other beings. And, of course, then you get out far enough and you start contacting these other beings who are as screwed up as they used to be.
Right.
And they say, well, this is kind of stupid here. And so then it became a game for them to go into worlds like that and help them step up into the love and light.
Oh.
And that was their, that was a game. It's like playing, we get hooked on our computer games here. That was their computer game they got hooked on. It was fun.
Huh.
And
did
so,
they ever have, did they ever have any failures?
Failures? Failures?
Yeah, in the sense that they were unable to empower a group that was not as advanced into the love and life paradigm?
Okay. Now, we'll say yes. But it's not their failure. In fact, there's no failure at all. It's just that they realized they were bringing this to someone who wasn't ready for it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, they can't really respond to this, and that's all right. We'll just plant a few seeds and go our merry way. So that's okay. But, okay. You know, they learned eventually through all of these games and you know, by the time they're, you know, well-developed in their own galactic family and realizing that their galactic family is part of an extended intergalactic family, they're out all over the place. The next thing you know, they're working with all these different intergalactic councils and so forth, and it became fun to go into, like, darker regions of the cosmic matrix and find like galactic clusters that were still wallowing in the fear and the dark and so forth. And so the game was to go into a galactic cluster and determine which was the key galaxy. If they got that one to go up into the love out of the fear, then, yeah, that's the key one. We'll get that one to shift, and the others will fall right in place with it. Then they'd go into that galaxy, and they'd look, okay, where is the right constellation to work with, and blah, 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 eventually down to what planet, what species. And so after doing that enough, they were pretty good at the game, and then they realized they got involved with this group, and the way they translated it is that it's the Intergalactic Council for Universal Ascension. And so at that point, they had one of these cosmic forehead-slapping moments. You know, duh! And they said, well, you know, if we're doing this for the whole universe, why don't we determine where the galactic cluster is that would shift it, serve as the catalyst for the whole universe to shift back up into love and light?
Ooh.
You know, yeah, it's like the whole freaking, what do you call it, the cosmic matrix, to get that whole thing up out of the fear. Yeah, let's do that. And, of course, they go to that galactic cluster, find the right galaxy, and on. Finally, they end up here.
Well, and they are pretty darn good at it, aren't they?
Oh, they are, yeah.
And so what's their timetable with Earth and with humanity and the reptilians and the other forms of life that are messing around here and having a party?
Okay, now, they're not concerned with timetables.
Okay.
And they're always encouraging us to just drop the when questions, because when we ask a when question, it's tying us to the timetable of the matrix. It's tying us to this unnatural, stilted, awkward Gregorian calendar, and I don't give a rip what Pope Gregory says what time it is. Get in the swing of universal timing, and you'll forget about clocks and calendars, and you'll
right.
be concerned about any of that.
Well, that doesn't take us into synchronicity?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there is natural synchronicity, harmony, and order in the natural universe.
Right.
And so we...
Is there a natural universe?
Oh, there sure is.
You mean it's not all matrix?
Well, sorry to disappoint you, but there really is a real universe.
And it's alive and well and
it sure
breathing.
Is, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
We're just totally deluded and delusional here, so... it's okay. We're waking up and transcending this now. But as far as the other part of your question goes with the reptilians and the other beings, now, Proterians have made comments about, you know, the reptilians, the archons, and beyond. Because a lot of people here think it's all the reptilians. That's all it is. It's just those damn reptilians. And other people say, no, it's the archons. It's those damn archons. And so on and so forth. But it's really this force that is artificial intelligence. Yes. And see, now, if you look among these various, well, just a couple of species that we know of here, if this artificial intelligence were to be infiltrating and taking over any of these species, wouldn't you think the reptilians would be easier for them to take over than the humans? Well, actually, if you would get into the reptilian mindset and the lack of heart and empathy and so forth,
absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Okay, much easier. So they can use the reptilians then to work on the humans. And then among the humans, they can find the most genetically damaged, which would be the Europeans, and use them to screw it up for the rest of the humans, et cetera. Yeah.
Well, now so then you mentioned the Archons, and that takes us back into the Gnostic dialogues that come from the Nag Hammadi text, I believe.
Yeah.
But I've also heard that the Archons were brought here by one of the groups that had control, and that they were raised to God status and then literally shot here, and that they were taken to use to as lords of karma and lords of time in messing with the incarnational grids. In other words, we're basically reused or recycled if we don't have enough energy to leave the solar system when we cross over, and we're taken through a false light paradigm and given a life review, and that's when they send us back. So we can keep coming back for thousands of times and not even know because of the forgetfulness, the fact that we are intentionally wiped, mind wiped.
Go on. Now the Proletarians say that the Archons are also AI.
Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, see, the way they've worded it so long is they didn't use the term AI all these years. They just said it is not life as we know it. These are not ensouled entities. They cannot create life. They cannot even live life. They can only mimic and influence life.
And AI would be certainly capable of creating a persona, or that everybody could hate and focus on, called the Archons, and they can go in and update all the spiritual books and the holy books going back for hundreds of thousands of years, and outside of time, mess with those to lead to us to the conclusions that they want us to come to. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, what about the demigods?
Okay, then we get into the level of the demigods, then we are still dealing with AI. And often we are dealing with species which were originally biological species, much like we perceive ourselves to be, only they ended up having their consciousness given over to the AI. So they can be biological, but completely, like in their minds are wiped. They're just programmed. It's like they're walking software programs. Actually, that's like a lot of the humans around here.
Right.
Watching it, the zombification process.
Well, that would make sense, too, because there are numerous rumors and stories about the elites and the various players wanting to place their consciousness into containers which are artificial intelligence. So
yeah, and see, that's what
probably could have happened millions of years ago.
Yeah, well, see, that's what has happened with these other species, is that they got so influenced by the AI, they came to put all their belief and all their faith into external technological advancements, and they gave their very soul, their very essence, their very beingness to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't realize, they thought they were going to achieve some great immortality, they just became software programs.
Which is where we're headed.
Well, that's where a lot of the Earthlings are headed.
A lot of the Earthlings are headed,
yeah. And a lot of them are doing that simply because they are so heavily under the influence of the AI.
Right. Now, what supersedes AI?
Well, if we're talking of superseding in the sense of...
In terms of what interests of a negative force can control or manipulate or run artificial intelligence. I mean, we're talking... Now, we're not talking about artificial intelligence as it is on Earth today.
No, because...
We're talking about AI as it is in another dimension.
Right, well...
Running the matrix, the cosmic
right.
matrix.
Yes, because the AI on Earth is very heavy on the A and pretty light on the I.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the big AI out there.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a gay eye too.
You never know.
Are they liberated yet?
Probably.
Okay, can the gay eyes get married?
Somebody was sending.
I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
Whatever. Okay, yeah. Let's go back. Let's see if we.
Yeah,
can
let's
back
go back.
Whatever
let's
your
go
question
forward.
Was.
Okay.
Go forward to whatever your question was.
Oh well. Okay. So then, Saturn, Sauron, Satan, Lucifer, creations of AI.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Multidimensional beings running AI?
Well, sure, yeah. The AI itself is multidimensional.
See, is there any galactic group or consortium or negative band of renegades that is capable of manipulating AI to achieve some kind of agenda?
Well, those are the beings who attempt that, but what has happened is that they have always ended up being sucked completely into the AI.
Ah.
And that's how it all started, is these beings created, they got away from their internal ability to create and got into this world of external manifestation, and so they got totally lost in technology, gave away all their power to their own technology, and eventually allowed their own AI to suck them up and take them over. How many times have we seen science fiction stories right here on Earth about that, of the big supercomputers that end up taking over everything?
Oh, yes, my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, okay, see, that's what happened on a much bigger scale. So all of these other beings out there are not actually manipulating and using the AI. It's the other way around.
Oh.
The AI is just like a runaway freight train.
Well, now, where would it exist in our as in a way that we could understand where it exists? Is it throughout everything? Has it inserted itself through all the matrix?
Oh yeah. In fact, well, it has created the matrix.
Okay. So then, basically, all of the 8 or 9 dimensional dimensions are run by AI.
If we're talking about the Matrix, remember, the Matrix is an illusory energetic overlay. It's,
right.
it's laid over, it's superimposed over the natural universe, which has all of those dimensions and many more.
Right.
So, the Matrix, as we see it, is 9 dimensions. And it's intergalactic, it's vast, you know, the cosmic matrix. In fact, you sent me that one link last week, and the one guy had said, according to them, they see it as 8 dimensions.
Okay, I noticed that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Well,
it
could be
8. I'm not going to quibble it.
Well, right. The one dimension off, I mean, 8 plus the person who's perceiving the 8 dimensions.
Right, it's like, so what? At least there's somebody there who sees that it's multidimensional.
Right.
And that's something that is still concealed from the vast majority of the humans here, even those who are awakening and really getting into this. They just want to believe that 3D planet Earth is the Matrix, and you can escape by dying.
Oh, well, no, because you keep coming back.
Yeah, you're
and here's the other rub. The New Age movement is hung up or programmed to believe that if we are linear, we're going through linear dimensional shifts, and that we have to pass through 4th to get through 5th. And then I heard one person comment saying, well, when we align our chakras and we're in our 7th dimensional format, we will be free. And I said, and I wrote back and I said, well, 7 dimensions is less than 9, at least as far as I know. And if we're in a 9-dimensional matrix, then a 7 is pretty high, but it's still inside the confines of the matrix.
Yeah, and we had gone through this once last year, because as the Proterians were talking about the 9 dimensions of the matrix, they said that when you get up into the 7th, 8th, and 9th dimensions of the matrix, it is so vast and so awesome and so cool that the beings probably wouldn't want to leave.
Right.
And that serves as like the casing of the battery.
Right. You've basically got a self-contained unit that by the time you get to the top, there's so much to do, or, you know, it's so fascinating that you just never, you know, or it takes a long time to figure out that, you know, there are limitations that you're still in creation, for one thing.
Right.
Now, how
see,
hard is it to make a jump, a leap to the real worlds that are, the of which this matrix is an overlay? In other words, if it's an overlay, it can't be too far from the real world.
Exactly.
Then why can't we just dispose of the overlay?
Well, we don't have to dispose of anything. We just see through it.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, so how, if you want to go to the real, to blackberries without thorns, do you have to walk through a blackberry patch with thorns and get cut to pieces?
That doesn't sound like a very sensible way to go about it.
No, no, no. And I said it for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Going back to what you had just said about your friend and this new belief system here about going into the seven chakra system and aligning it and being in seven dimensions, what's
yeah.
being described there is being initiated into the seventh dimension of the matrix and thinking, that's it, I've got it.
Right, right.
Then you're part of the encasing of the battery.
That's right, that's right.
And thinking you've achieved the ultimate.
Yep. And then once you think that, there would be nothing outside that, because your mind at that point would literally create that reality
mm-hmm.
with nothing beyond it.
That's it.
So we have to be really careful about our thoughts, don't we?
Well,
somewhat careful.
Whatever.
Do what you want to do. Think what you want.
Yeah,
what's up, Doc?
Yeah. But see, if we get into this thing of having to be cautious and careful and tiptoe around about our thoughts, then that's
yeah,
based
forget
on
it.
Fear.
That doesn't work. I've tried that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
more like
just,
an elephant in a china shop.
Yeah. Just. Focus
yeah,
on
no,
the heart. Live in the universal love. Everything else will fall into place. Shift from the fear to the love. Everything else will fall into place.
And how do you shift from fear into love?
Oh, there's the how questions again.
Okay, wait. Okay, let me take it back. What are some of the more effective ways and techniques that one can use to recognize when one is in fear and shift into love? Well, there's probably a million, the infinite number of ways.
Well, sure, yeah. And the main thing is to just feel. It helps if we just slow down and we don't get all frantic in the craziness of the matrix out here. And take time to breathe. You can do things.
But there is
like,
no time to breathe. I got to be somewhere in 5 minutes.
Exactly, right. Which yeah. means disengage from the nonsense of the matrix,
right.
The rat race, the craziness, and all that distraction out there,
yeah.
and get into who and what we really are, and just breathe into that and feel that.
Mm.
If you go to Laura Bruno's blog, and in that little section of search this blog, you can just type in the heart breath. I've mentioned this a few times before. This is a technique that was brought into us years ago through the Proterians, and the heart breath is a technique that we can use anytime, and it is so effective to get into ourselves. They start us where we are a zero-dimensional being.
Wow.
That is you as simply the divine spirit, because you as spirit are not tied down to any dimension or any concept of dimensions. As pure spirit, you are not tied down to any cosmic plane or world or realm or alleged reality of any kind. You are the infinite spirit itself. You are the essence of the infinite, and that is what is called love. The pure, infinite, divine love is the essence of the infinite, and you are that. And so you'll find that it's easiest to feel it in the heart, and from the heart, as your body is inhaling, bringing air in, instead of focusing on the air coming into the lungs, focus on the energy expanding out from the heart.
Yeah,
breathing that love out into yourself through your first dimensional body, through your second dimensional body, out here into the third dimensional body and beyond.
Right, right.
Now,
because the light comes from within.
Because you are it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, things that simple. Usually, if it's simple, it's going to be effective.
And that's the stuff that people don't want to do because they think it's too simple and it's got to be complex. And that's why there's so many people out there coming up with invented words and systems and complex things, and you have to do this and do that and jump through the hoops. And so it just is a matter of discerning that the truth is simple.
Yes.
It seems like it ought to be as simple as a child could understand it, a baby could understand it.
Yes, in fact, the babies are wondering how they can actually explain it to the dumb adults. You
know? Right.
Actually, in one of the channeling sessions a little over a year ago, the Praetorians were into that about, you know, the magic of the child and then the adult. And they said, now, isn't it an interesting happenstance of your language that the word adult sounds like a dolt?
Yes. Very good.
And there have been so many times in channeling sessions that they've presented something that is so simple and so effective and so elegant, and they'll pause and say, oh, we're sorry, that's far too simple for you. Now, if we can only make it complex enough, maybe you can get it.
I like that.
Yes, for all the dolts in the room. Yeah, so really, the simpler the better.
Yeah.
And so if you get into, like, you know, just read through that, the heart breath technique and just play.
Well, I'm looking for it now so I can post it on Facebook, and I'm doing a search on Laura's blog to see if I can find it. Here we go. I got it. Okay.
Heart breath, yeah.
August 12th.
Yeah.
Folks, I'll post this on Facebook on my wall, Lance White's wall, and you can, and a couple of other places. So, and you can look it up yourself. I mean, you don't have to find it through me. I'm just a little quicker on the draw here.
Yeah. But, you know, on her blog, the one that has received the most attention and people have, I guess, used the most is called The Blue Room.
The Blue Room.
Blue Room. Yeah, I can throw that in there.
Okay, The Blue Room. Ooh, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Blue Room is very cool. So there are very simple techniques that can be used. And
Here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll post both. I'll send these to my group and also post them on Facebook because they look like fun.
I like the
Blue Room.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. Yeah.
Very effective.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, you don't need to go, you know, spend $200 to have your DNA. What are they doing with DNA these days? Tweaked. Okay.
Now they're dissolving it.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, good.
Yeah, they're actually dissolving it, but it still costs money.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, you can only do it once, so at least you're not out, you know, $175 every time you need a DNA upgrade.
Oh, dear.
I mean, you know, New Age people are getting a little more savvy. They're at least, you know, okay, let's just dissolve it, and it'll cost you $75.
Yeah, there we go. Well, the marketplace out there has been amusing, if anything else.
There's another thing that I like to bring up because so many people are identified with the ancient Hindu philosophies, which, as we know, all of these different teachings came from some aspect of a creator in the Matrix or from AI. Let's just say it came from an intelligent source. Not from God, the God, but it came to as a control mechanism, and the chakras were installed in us as control mechanisms, and it's pretty well documented that they align, that the chakras are in alignment with the rings of Saturn, the seven rings of Saturn, and that all of those things work together as control devices. So, a lot of people are now contemplating the idea that the chakras are maybe something that they don't need. That basically everything that was created within us has some kind of function. But I mean, we still have a reptilian brain. Do we need it? But who's going to go into a surgeon and say, could you please remove my reptilian brain? I don't want to be a reptilian any longer.
Well,
although, you know, in olden days, I'll bet they used to do that. You know, in the insane asylums, when they were playing around with taking out parts of brains and experimenting, I bet they did a lot of that stuff.
You don't even want to put your imagination back in that. Oh, man. Yeah.
Okay, change page.
Back to your question.
Yes.
Concerning the, well, let's work specifically with what came in through ancient India.
Okay.
And one of my very good friends went through all this training, you know, with the, I mean, studied right with a yogi for years and years and years, and went through all of these spiritual initiations and all of this and that, and finally realized that it all was part of a control mechanism. And actually, let's see, there was a series of articles written about the what the TM movement really was on a spiritual level years ago. The writer's name was Bronte Baxter.
And Bronte Baxter,
yeah. And the article that caught my attention there was called Where Have All the Flower Children Gone? And I think that was the second in a series of articles which really laid it all out, because she went through the whole TM movement for many years and so forth. And once you get to the higher levels of that, she realized you're actually trained to be feeding your energy to these entities. Who are
well, we are
AI?
AI. Well, yes, and since AI is inorganic, it seems as if it would need some kind of bridge or steps to take that energy and transform it into a form that AI could use. So, for instance, the energy of worship, which we do with religions, and that's all energy that goes out to those entities that collect it and live off of the eternal worship of all the beings that are worshiping in any given time.
Now, the whole phenomenon of worship. Now, also, before I get into that, you just did mention that, you know, a type of energy that the AI can use. Since it is not organic, since it is not life, it needs a battery. It needs an energy source. It needs to suck energy out of something that lives.
Right.
So all it can do is keep consuming that which is alive in order to maintain itself and to keep expanding and growing and until it has consumed everything. And of course, it's not going to get that far, but that's okay. Anyway... the Protarians, back to your thing about worship, the Protarians have said that in their reality, worship qualifies as a perversion. Because in order to worship, you first have to declare yourself to be a worthless scumbag and something else to be holy and sacred, and that's God and I'm not. And so then you can bow down to it and worship. So first you have to make yourself into something unholy in order to worship something that is. So in other words, you have to pervert yourself first.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So it's like, so that whole worship gig just doesn't quite cut it, right?
No.
And it is actually feeding the AI.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, it's the Matrix trilogy all over again. I mean, I haven't seen it done any better. And have you seen the Wachowski brothers' the most recent film, Jupiter Rising, yet?
Oh, I have heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Well, it certainly does give you scope and relativity on the idea that there are multiple galactic civilizations that are vast, and that Earth, basically, is just one of many millions of farms in which the humans are farmed for their energy.
Yes.
And they have these cylinders that contain human energy. And basically they go in periodically and they cull the whole planet and they take all the inhabitants, and that could be considered the rapture, or it could be considered the harvest. I mean,
yeah, well, they even call it the harvest of souls.
The harvest of souls, yes. And then those entities, those ETs that are running these galactic conglomerates, that keeps them going in time, alive, and then they sell it to other galactic groups that also want to have longer lives. So it's an interesting, it really gives you a whole different view of what might be going on here. It's quite a vast enterprise if that's something that they do, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, the cosmic matrix, which means that in the matrix, which is, again, multidimensional and intergalactic, yes, there's this huge machine. It's a machine. It's all AI that can only maintain itself by sucking energy out of that which lives. But at the same time, within the natural universe, we've got all these other beings, like the Proterians, who are encouraging us to wake up and come back into alignment with the natural universe. And when we do that, the AI has no power over us, because it has no power over us unless we give it the power.
Right, right, right. And that has to be by choice.
Yep, at some level, and which is why they want to keep us in a position of having such a thing as the unconscious mind.
Yeah.
Because the unconscious mind gives them the permission, and they have it.
Right, and they can get that permission without our conscious awareness.
Exactly.
Simply by producing movies and having you go watch them, or watching the television, or millions of different ways. Just by living your life, you're constantly giving permission for them to use you, milk you, and discard you, and then,
Yeah, and we even see this reflected externally in the obedience people give to the system here. Well, like the whole tax system. People work their asses off at these jobs to feed the corporate machine, and then from what they earn from the corporate machine as they slave their lives into the grave, they end up having to pay huge chunks of that to another part of the machine.
Machine, right. That's right. That's absolutely right, yes. And it's got all kinds of checks and balances to keep you in line, we really are living on a slave planet, on an enslaved planet, and it's becoming more dramatic as I see that many states, like California, for instance, are passing laws that are eliminating religious protests of parents to keep their kids from getting vaccinated with a poisonous vaccines, which contain things like mercury, and they also contain other diseases.
And those vaccines are gradually, incrementally leading people toward giving all of their power to the AI.
Yes. Don't you feel that there's a possibility that there's nanotechnology used there as well?
Oh, totally.
Because a vaccine can contain nanotechnology that completely self-replicates in your body, and you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't feel it.
Right, and it's just like the smart dust. They've got it out here in the air.
Yeah.
And it's nanotechnology, and just ask the people who are dealing with Morgellons. That's nanotechnology.
I have a good friend that's dealing with it, and it's a horrific disease. I mean, it builds on itself, and it's red, white, and blue.
It's
and as
AI.
The wires come out of your body and you can't do anything about it, there must be some things you can do, but
there are things that you can do. In fact, there are people who are developing homeopathics and so forth to cure it, and there are people who are now getting the upper hand on that, so people can be liberated from the deleterious effects of that Morgellons, which, again, is AI from A to Z. In fact, some of those Morgellons fibers have been shown under the microscope to actually have number codes on the sides of them.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it is nanotechnology.
And of course, all of the humans that are fascinated with destruction and the dark side of life, there's a Fourth Reich that's working on all kinds of strange things.
These are just beings who have totally given themselves over to the AI. They are to the point, like most of these big-time hotshot corporate leaders, political leaders, religious leaders, etc., they are not even humans. These are often our reptilian souls incarnated in a human body, and their consciousness is totally dominated by the AI.
Oh, I totally believe that. I mean, after David Icke pressed that for about 20 years, I finally got to see that he was right. It's a disturbing situation, and especially if you don't know about it, then it's not disturbing because you're asleep.
Yes, and for those of us who are awakening, it doesn't need to be disturbing because we see through the illusion.
Right, exactly. So maybe we're getting so close to the end of the show, but I was hoping that maybe we could go into some things about, connecting with the real realms that are not within the Matrix, and exploring that as well. There are a lot of groups now that are talking about exiting the Matrix, so I suspect it will become a huge topic in the coming months.
Yeah, and again, watch out, caveat emptor out there, because you're going to have all these people with all these methods of exiting the Matrix, and what they're actually trying to do is extract you farther from the natural universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We've got to really be on our toes. I mean, our proverbial toes. We've got.
But the most important thing to remember is the basic, and that's the essence of the infinite, which is divine love. And in order to feel something that is more in attunement with the natural love of the natural universe, you can develop relationships not just with other humans, but definitely reach out into the animal kingdom, because there is tremendous love and consciousness there that humans have been too stupid to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees
Absolutely. And
so forth reach
out
to what we are perceiving as nature here, because even it is under the influence of the AI, and it would like to be liberated too. And we can all together co-create this energy field, which will simply transcend the illusions of the Matrix. And then we can look at anything that has any trace of Matrix in it, and we'll know it. It'll be a no-brainer. It's like, okay. And then we can recite the sacred mantra, which is, oh, please.
Oh, please. Yeah, right. Well, Timothy, I have had a wonderful chat with you tonight, and I hope that everybody enjoyed this and got something out of it. I did. And I'd love to have you back soon, and we're kind of getting into doing a regular show, so I'm enjoying this, actually. Next week, I have my old friends Nelia Benz and Larry Bazell living up in Washington, the state of Washington. They'll be coming to talk about their new life on the houseboat. So, and you're a good friend of theirs as well, so it'll be a fun show next week, and your site is soulpurposereadings.com,
right.
And you give the best readings of anyone I know, so I unequivocally recommend you.
Thank you.
So thank you for coming back and being on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Good night, everybody.